Last week we had our children's Christmas pageant showcasing the Christmas story for our 10 o'clock worship. And if you've seen one children's Christmas pageant, I won't go so far as to say that you've seen them all, but you perhaps have picked up that it's a bit of an accumulation of details from both Matthew and Luke, and in the gentle display of the small children portraying what took place at the birth of Jesus, we kind of get this very nice, tidy package, so to speak, of what unfolded. And when you see that year after year, you can just kind of hear these stories and be like, ah, yes, and that is how it took place. And we can miss out on some of the outright shocking and scandalous nature of this story of the birth of Jesus that I think Matthew tries to share in this morning's gospel reading. A young woman, not yet fully married, just betrothed, is found unexpectedly pregnant. Her betrothed has legal grounds to make her state public and possibly even seek her death in retribution. But being a righteous man, both following the teachings of the law and living according to God's will, he resolves to quietly dismiss her and break off their engagement. Except then we have the arrival of a messenger of God who speaks to this man in a dream and says that this scandalous, unexpected affair is the work of God taking place. And so in obedience to this revelation, this epiphany, the man joins with his wife in this scandalous undertaking of what God is doing in their midst. And for those savvy, you may have noticed in the passage preceding this, if you're familiar with Matthew, that Matthew gives his genealogy. That's what leads up for Matthew into this. Matthew gives this long list of patriarchs that so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so was the father of so-and-so. But in the midst of that list, there are five women who are referenced, one being Mary, mother of Jesus, and the other four are Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba, women who by their ethnicity or by their relationships also carried within the story of God's people this aspect of impropriety. Yet it is these women who Matthew seeks to underscore how God worked through their presence, through their relationships, and perhaps in this way hint at how this relationship of Mary and Joseph and their coming baby is this scandalous way that the divine is at work through this young unwed couple. That Matthew is priming his audience to remember that God has a habit of showing up in unconventional, unexpected, downright shocking ways. And though I will admit I am a little bit partial to Luke's rendition of the Christmas story with his focus on Mary, I am very grateful for Matthew's focus on Joseph in this exchange. I'm grateful for the way that it reminds me that my understanding, humanity's understanding of God's righteousness is limited. That we are not able to grasp from our vantage point the fullness of God's ways, including God's willingness to bring grace and new life, transformation and healing into this world, even by means that we might find disgraceful. Our gospel makes the point of telling us that Joseph is righteous, and that his decision to divorce Mary is born out of this righteousness, out of this understanding of what is right and proper by God's laws and will. And it may be that Matthew makes the point of saying that Joseph plans to merely quietly dismiss Mary as a way of underscoring the righteousness of this man who goes above and beyond what the law says is appropriate, and even in the midst of that seeks to extend a measure of grace rather than having this public trial that could even lead to his betrothed's death. Yet thanks be to God that even as Joseph sought to undertake what he believed to be the righteous, divinely desired course of action, that an angel appears to him and says, "Wait a minute there, Joseph. Hold on a second. God's up to something here." in this Advent season, we are called to attend to what God is up to here in this place. The ways that God is continuing to arrive in our midst. Christ continuing to be born forth into our lives, into our world. And we focus during this season of Advent on the intention that we name year-round. These words that we hear so commonly in the Lord's Prayer and in the Common Table Prayer. Lord, thy kingdom come. Come, Lord Jesus. We wait and we watch with expectation that God indeed continues to show up. Ready and prepared for the transformation that comes with Christ's showing up. Do we pray for God to show up and act with ourselves open to the possibility that God's very presence may challenge or overturn our neat and tidy boxes of the way that the world works, of what is proper and right and just? What happens when our sensibilities of right and wrong confront God's ways of radical grace and mercy? I think that question lurks behind our gospel passage this morning. That as we hear how Joseph first judges what is to be the right course of action, the action that is right and just and righteous, he is challenged by a messenger from God. Not only does this messenger call Joseph's attention to how God is at work, but the angel tells Joseph, hey, you have a part to play in this too. Joseph is invited to rebel against the expectations of convention, to risk shame or derision from his community or family in order to follow God and stand with Mary, his betrothed, a vulnerable mother-to-be. And when we look around at the world that we are in here in 2019, we can certainly see our own share of people in vulnerable positions. I read a story this week that left me dumbfounded how back in November, our government released data showing that in 2019, nearly 70,000 migrant children were detained away from their parents. As of the time of reporting, some 4,000 were still in government custody. Here in Wisconsin, we can see within our communities the effects of how economic disparity in our country continues to trap people in cycles of poverty that leads families and children to not even be able to get enough to eat. Around the world, there are examples of injustice and oppression that are perpetuated by systems and beliefs that encourage folks to draw dividing lines, separating themselves from the needs of others. Too often, our world is quick to offer up reasons for why someone else's pain and suffering simply isn't our problem. Too loud are the voices that clamor to say that those who suffer have brought it on themselves for the choices that they have made, that this is the right and proper way of things. But we have to ask ourselves, friends, for these folks who are in the midst of struggle or suffering, do we believe that God's faithfulness, God's promise to show up, is true for them as well? As followers of Christ, we are called not simply to wait for his arrival, but to prepare the way of the Lord. Like Mary and Joseph, of God continue to speak into our lives, reminding us that in the face of upheaval and anxiety, God is still coming to this world to reveal God's loving compassion and to bring salvation and healing to those in need. And like Mary and Joseph, the message for us is both watch for what God is doing and will do, but also know that you have a part to play in this too. We are invited into this transformative and life-giving mission, called to live differently than the world around us, to care for folks in vulnerable positions, to work for justice and peace and compassion, even when doing so, may challenge our own expectations or go beyond our neat and tidy boxes of the way things ought to be. For Matthew's story about the coming of Christ into the world, it is a reminder for us that our human conceptions of righteousness are not big enough to contain all that God may be doing in the transformational work of the gospel. God's faithfulness and compassion towards humanity is unchanging. But the creativity for how God enters into our lives and communities extends wildly beyond our imagining and our sense of propriety. Matthew reminds us that because this righteous young couple said yes to God's calling in their lives, they became the family to usher in the advent of God's breaking forth in their community. Emmanuel, God dwelling with God's people. Mary and Joseph set aside their plans, their expectations, their pride in order to become a part of this scandalously unexpected arrival of the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, stewarded the gift of God's saving grace into this world. So too are we called this day and every day to be bearers of the divine into our world, preparing ourselves and our communities around us for the arrival of Jesus again and again and again in the greater unfolding of his reign of mercy and compassion. Thanks be to God. Amen.